We want to tell you about a show we think you'll love. Derelict is an immersive sci-fi horror podcast. The story begins at the bottom of Earth's ocean, where an ancient artifact resembling a giant door has just been found. The galaxy's most powerful corporation has built a massive secret laboratory around the door, intending to unlock the secrets of the artifact and discover what lies inside. But some mysteries should remain buried, and some doors should never be opened. The second season, currently releasing, picks up several years after the events of the first, from fathoms below Earth's ocean to the depths of space. If you're a fan of movies like Alien, the works of H.P. Lovecraft, or games like Deep Space and Bioshock, you'll love Derelict. Unravel the mystery and subscribe to Derelict. That's D-E-R-E-L-I-C-T, wherever you listen to podcasts. And after the episode, stay tuned to hear the trailer. Hey guys, thank you for tuning in for this episode of 13. Before we get started, we want to shout out our new patrons. Edward Wong, Jessica Dixon, Lars, and Christine Milistan. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and welcome to the Pod Fam. If you're interested in things like ad-free episodes, extra stories, behind-the-scenes content, exclusive merch, or just like, I don't know, hanging out with us, then you should check us out on Patreon. Just click the link in the show notes to learn more. Today's story is Grim Reaper by Trisha Ridinger McKee, narrated by Nate DuFort. Are you ready? Sit back, turn down the lights. And now, on with the show.
Bobby usually loved staying at his grandma's on Friday nights. She let him stay up late and watch any show he wanted as he gulped down the milkshake she made for him. At 6 years old, he already knew his grandmother's house was more stable than his own home, where he lived with his mother. There were no random men at his grandmother's. There was always food in the cupboards, and she never screamed at him. But tonight was different. His grandmother was pale and couldn't catch her breath. Bobby's mother barely looked her way when dropping him off, but did ask,
"You okay, Mom?"
"Oh, yes. Just a little tired,"
my grandmother said.
"I'll be fine."
But she did not make the milkshakes. Instead, she told him to watch television while she went to take a short nap. Alarm and terror seized him. His grandmother's house was old, and shadows lurked around every corner. The thought of being downstairs alone when it was dark outside horrified him. He pleaded with her to stay, but she said it would just be a little nap. He could come wake her up in an hour when this show was over. She paused to take a breath, her knotted fingers resting on her bloated stomach. She told him not to answer the door for anyone before going upstairs. It was always an odd instruction, as his grandmother lived out in the woods, with no nearby neighbors to stop by. But he nodded, trying to hide the trembling at the thought of being alone. He forced himself to focus on the television, pretending that his grandmother was in the rocking chair behind him. He could even hear the creaking of the chair as it rocked back and forth, and he had to tell himself to stare straight ahead and not turn. He could not break the game his mind was playing. When the show was over, he went upstairs, turning on the lights as he went. But his grandmother's bedroom light was too high up to reach, so he scurried in and went to her bedside. He could hear her labored breathing, and reaching out, he touched her arm. It was cold and clammy, and startled, he cried out that it was time for her to wake up. He shook her, but she never opened her eyes. He started to cry, telling her that his show was over and it was time to wake up. As he continued to shake her and plead for her to wake up, he shivered, the room suddenly cold. Bobby kept pleading with her.
Grandma, I'm cold. Please wake up.
By now, he was sobbing. The phone was downstairs, but he did not know who to call. He only knew his grandma's number and his home number, and his mom wasn't home. She was out dancing. Suddenly, he saw a shadow move beside him, and he jumped back, letting go of his grandma's hand. Gasping, he looked around and realized it was his imagination. Nothing was there. His heart was still pounding as he once more tried to call for his grandma. But then, he saw it again. Something materialized out of the darkest corner and stepped forward. A darker shadow in the form of a figure. A man. The shadow floated to the foot of the bed, and Bobby was frozen to the spot, unable to move, unable to scream. The figure was black until he moved his head up, and the whites of his eyes seemed to glow in the darkened room. The light from the hallway spilled in just enough for Bobby to see the figure was tall, with a hood and long coat. His grandmother's breathing stopped, and Bobby wanted to call out to her, but he was still frozen with fear. He watched as her body grew still, and then he saw her move. But it was like a mist rising from her still body, a cloud in the shape of his grandmother. The cloud lifted and floated toward the shadow as his eyes glowed. Then the shadow and the cloud of his grandmother were gone. And the room was stiflingly hot, and the fear turned to a burning energy. Bobby finally moved, his feet taking him out of the room and down the stairs. As he burst out of the front door and into the night, he heard a deep, guttural laugh follow him. Robert threw money on the table and grabbed his jacket.
Mom, I have to get back to work.
His mother sighed dramatically and dropped her shoulders.
You can't even spend a full lunch with me without running off.
He shot his mother an exasperated look as he shrugged into his jacket. She had been wild in her youth and not always the most attentive mother, but now she was ready to settle into the role. When he was an adult and needed no maintenance. When she needed the company.
Gotta pay the bills. Speaking of which, how you doing with bills this month?
Despite calming down in her later years, Josephine was still horrible with money. She spent any money she made on cigarettes, whiskey, and energy drinks. And now she shrugged, sipping her soda.
Mom?
My electric was shut off.
He cursed and then threw up his hand.
You can stay at my place until we get it back on.
She nodded as if she expected that invitation all along, and he noticed that she looked 10 years older than her age of 60. Her skin was wrinkled and sagging. Her eyes were sunken, and that blonde hair that had gotten all the attention when she was younger was now thin and stringy. This was not the mother of his youth, and briefly, he worried about her health. But voicing any concern would go over her head. Josephine was going to do what Josephine wanted. Unfortunately, he was her only child and stuck with the aftermath of her hard life. That evening, he returned home to find his mother already camped out in front of the television, her evening glass of whiskey clutched in one hand, a cigarette in the other.
Can you refrain from smoking in here, Mom?
Ignoring his request, she gestured with the glass.
You want me to fix you one?
No, thanks.
One thing his childhood rearing taught him was not to drink. Too many times of seeing his mother passed out or unable to walk straight turned him off to alcohol. His mother often sneered at him and his choices, but he did not care if he was judged by an over-the-hill alcoholic. It was one of the reasons he never married or had kids. He had watched his mother stumble from one no-good man to another, and he remembered the divorces and how intense the battles became. Why would he put himself through that? And why would he bring a child into such a life? He made dinner, a quick pasta dish that she merely picked at, and then she returned to the couch to watch more television and drink and smoke as he washed the dishes. By the time he was finished, Robert returned to the now smoky room where his mother had passed out, her head tipped back and her mouth open as she snored. "Mom!" He shook her, but she didn't budge. She was out. So he shut off the television and the light. He would go into his room and read for a bit, and then he would come back out to try and wake her once again. As he made his way out of the darkened living room, he felt a chill in the air and froze. That night, from decades earlier, came back to him. He was once again that young boy trying to wake up his grandmother as she was dying, and the feelings and fears ran through him so suddenly that he gasped. Years of repressing that night, repressing those memories, they flew out the door as the chill grew more intense, and he was once again frozen to the spot. When Robert finally found his breath, he turned and tried to leave the room once again, but out of the corner of his eye, he caught something move. He spun around, positive something had stepped from the corner of the room, but there was nothing. "Mom! Mom!" He rushed back to his mom's side, tripping over the ottoman. He scrambled to his feet and lunged at her, shaking her violently as he remembered his grandmother all those years ago. "Mom, wake up!"
What the hell, Robert? I'm up. I'm awake."
He sank onto the couch, working to catch his breath and slow his heart.
"I couldn't wake you. I thought..."
He didn't finish the sentence, but she was too busy fumbling with the cigarette pack to notice.
"Damn it, Robert, turn on the light. I can't see what I'm doing."
Forgetting about his own no-smoking rule, he got up and gladly turned on the light. Robert lifted his head from his hands. He hadn't got much sleep. Every noise and movement in the night caught his attention, leaving his blood cold. But as his mother sat across from him, a lit cigarette pinched between her fingers, he had to ask.
"Mom, do you remember the night Grandma died?"
Josephine's head shot up, her hair sticking up in tufts and black makeup smeared beneath her eyes.
"What? Robert, I ain't even had my first cup of coffee yet."
"Do you remember?"
"Of course I do. I came home to find my mother dead and my little boy gone. To find out you'd run out of the house and was walking the streets for hours all night. That doesn't just disappear."
"Okay, but do you remember what I said happened?"
Josephine stood abruptly, pushing her chair back and grinding her cigarette out in the ashtray.
"You were 6 years old. You were scared shitless."
"There was a man in that room, Mom."
"No. She died of a heart attack. No one was in that room. She was sick when I dropped you off. I shouldn't have left."
"There was a man in that room. But it wasn't a man. It was a shadow, and..."
She slammed the coffee mug down on the counter and squeezed her eyes shut.
"Robert, you were a little boy, traumatized by watching his grandmother die. There was no man there. No shadow. Stop it."
He wanted to tell her that same feeling came over him the night before, and he wanted to warn her to be careful, to somehow be healthy. But her reaction stopped him from saying anything more. Maybe she was right. He had been a traumatized little boy, scared of the dark. All these years later, could he really say he saw what he thought he saw? It could have been a shift of moonlight, or his overactive imagination. But Robert remembered those eyes, glowing and menacing. and he remembered seeing it all, just as his grandmother took her last shallow breath. If he had imagined it all, why did it come back so vividly last night? His mother spoke up again.
I forgot to tell you, I lost the apartment. I paid the damn rent, but that crook of a landlord is saying he never received it.
Robert knew his mother had not been paying the rent. He knew this was simply a ploy to move into his place and not pay bills. This was not the first time, but he nodded.
Then we'll rent you a storage unit where you can put everything. You pay that, you hear me? You can stay here until you get on your feet again.
Because what was he going to say? Find your own way? The truth was he felt some relief after the night before, and he was worried about his mother. Robert left early to go to the gym, and then it was off to work, where he argued with his coworkers on the best way to implement the client's vision. He didn't have many friends at work, and he felt it was best that way. He did not have to worry about feelings being hurt or allegiances. He fought for what he felt was best, and he was known as a hard ass when it came to the details. He rarely took a lunch, usually grabbing something from the vending machine. And after work, he picked up food from a local restaurant, knowing his mother would only eat a few bites. His mother was lounging on the couch, and as he set the bags of to-go food on the table, he called out,
"No work today?"
"Not today. They cut my hours at the grocery store. I'm scheduled for tomorrow, though."
He merely nodded, even though she couldn't see him. Hearing a notification on his phone, Robert glanced down at it and cursed.
"Mom, I forgot Lindsay and I are going out tonight. You gonna be okay here alone?"
"Oh my God, I think I'll be fine. Could you do me a favor though and pick up some cigarettes on your way back? I'll give you the money later."
He raced to get ready. He considered canceling, but decided otherwise. He and Lindsay had dated on and off for a few years, and it was a nice, predictable relationship. They both were career-oriented with no desire for children or dreams of some fairy tale marriage. They loved their space, so he did not feel pressured to offer her more than a couple of dates a week, sometimes staying over at her place. They went out for dinner, and he tried to listen as she spoke of her work in a dispute with her neighbor across the street. But his mind kept drifting to the shadow from the night before, from the night all those years ago.
"Robert, everything okay?"
It was her gentle reprimand for not paying attention. He shook his head.
"Mom's back at my place."
She raised her eyebrows as she poured dressing onto her salad.
"We talked about boundaries. She is perfectly capable of being on her own. You need to put your foot down."
"I think she might be dying."
Lindsay dropped her fork.
"Dying? She isn't that old. What makes you think that?"
Needing to confide, he told her about his grandmother dying all those years ago, and about the shadow that had materialized just as she had taken her last breath. He went on to say that he'd gotten the same sensation the night before and swore he had seen a shadow move. She listened intently, never interrupting. But then she shook her head.
"Robert, listen to yourself. You're sensible, intelligent, and you know that there is no such thing as ghosts or demons. Your mother is right. You were a traumatized little boy. You're remembering your imagination from back then. And you're exhausted. I can see that. You're exhausted, and you have to save your mother yet again. The stress is getting to you."
He clung to her practical explanation, wanting it to be true. It was merely his imagination. His stress from work and his mother's predicaments were getting to him.
"Listen, why don't we cut this night short, and you go home and you get some sleep? Maybe you should even just take a nice hot bath and get really relaxed."
She ran her manicured fingers up his arm in a rare display of affection.
"Okay, yeah, that sounds good."
Robert found his mother once again passed out on the couch. He studied her face, listened to her breathing, and while she was never the picture of health, he didn't see anything out of the ordinary. He drew a hot bath and jumped in, ready to relax and forget the nonsense of death and shadows. The steam rose up and cleared his mind, and he sunk deeper into the hot water and shut his eyes. That night with his grandmother kept replaying in his mind. He had had a sort of breakdown after running out of the house, and he didn't really remember wandering the streets. He could only remember a police officer finding him and wrapping him in a blanket. The sun had started to come up by then, and he had been walking all night. There were blisters on his feet, and he couldn't speak. When he'd finally come out of the shock, he tried telling them about the man in the room. They listened, but explained there was no sign of forced entry. There was nothing stolen. His grandmother had died of a heart attack. Nothing more. He'd been terrified when his grandmother hadn't woken up. It wasn't unreasonable to think, as a child, his imagination had overpowered any true sense of what was happening. As his body melted into the water, he let his mind drift. He let the doubts and stress float away. He would get out and go to bed and just sleep. His mother could take care of herself. She would wake up and stumble to the guest bedroom. Just as he thought of his mother, he heard a staticky sound, and he pulled himself out of the sleepy state. Sitting up, it continued, followed by a loud bang.
Mom, you okay?
The lights flickered, and the static was closer, like a radio station not quite coming in. The air grew chilly, and the bathwater was suddenly cold, his skin puckering with goosebumps. Then, the lights went out completely.
Mom?
He braced his hands on either side of the tub, about to lift himself up when he saw something move. He grew still, his eyes adjusting to the darkness. There was another bang, this time right beside him. It sounded like a heavy object being dropped or a foot stomping. He opened his mouth to yell, but he froze, his eyes focusing on the corner at the end of the room. The darkness swirled like a sandstorm, darkness spinning into darkness. And then, a form stepped out from the corner. Robert found himself unable to scream or move or even blink as the massive figure stepped closer. The figure lifted its head, and those glowing white eyes met Robert's, and he finally let out a strangled scream. Scrambling to his feet, he flattened himself against the wall, knocking his head on the shelf.
Mom!
The lights turned on and the static stopped. There was nothing there. No shadow, no figure, no glowing eyes. He wrapped himself in a towel and rushed out to the living room where his mother still slept.
Mom! Mom! Wake up!
Josephine stirred and then bolted to an upright position, her hands flying out in front of her.
Damn it, Robert. What?
Mom, I think something's happening to you. I think it's coming for you.
Robert, what the hell are you talking about? I fell asleep.
Robert ran to the kitchen to check the time on the microwave. When the power went out, the clock reset. But no. It was staring back at him in the bright green block numbers. The correct time, mocking him. The power hadn't gone out at all. His mother stumbled into the kitchen, making her way to the coffee pot.
I swear you're losing it. What's going on with you?
Mom, I think you need to make an appointment with your doctor. The same shadow I saw the night Grandma died, I'm seeing it again. I think it's here for you.
She shut her eyes and muttered under her breath before facing him.
This again? Robert, look. Maybe I should have taken you to see someone after that night. But that's just not a thing you did back then. I just figured you'd move on from it. There are no shadows. I'm not sick. I'm not that old. There's nothing coming for me.
He realized he was breathing fast and hard, and he focused on composing himself. Looking around, he nodded.
I was taking a bath to relax. Maybe I fell asleep and dreamed.
I'm sure that's it. Why don't you go to bed? I'm gonna stay up a little longer and drink some coffee. You scared the shit out of me screaming like that.
He nodded, staring at his mom before glancing around the room, his fingers dragging through his hair.
Yeah, Sorry, I was just dreaming.
As he fell asleep in his own bed, he managed to convince himself that it had indeed been just that. A dream.
Mom, I'm staying at Lindsay's tonight. You gonna be okay here alone?
She laughed at his question, pouring the last of the milk into her coffee.
I'll be fine. I work until 8. I'm just gonna pick up a pizza on my way home.
He eyed the empty milk carton.
Mind picking up some milk and coffee after your shift?
He sighed when she merely looked at him. Digging out his wallet, he grabbed a few bills and tossed them on the table. The past few nights had been uneventful, and he was convinced that Lindsay had been right. The stress of his mother once again moving in with him had unlocked some childhood flashbacks, and he was just reliving what his child's mind had conjured up back then. Lindsay's house was more modern and larger, and he always enjoyed his nights there. She had dinner waiting when he arrived, and once they ate, they settled in for a movie with a bottle of wine. This return to normal was nice, and he smiled as he reached for her. After years together, their lovemaking was routine, but that night, he was hungry for some contact, some intimacy. As he reached the height of passion, he felt Lindsay's nails dig into his back as she cried out. He wanted more, to last longer, and feel as if he was part of something, of someone. But it was over too soon. Minutes later, he heard her snore lightly, and he envied her the ability to go to sleep so quickly. He rested his head on the pillow and shut his eyes, trying to stop the random thoughts. There was a voice. It said, "Bobby." He bolted upright, feeling the breath from the whisper on his cheek. He glanced over at Lindsay and saw that she had not moved, her breathing still deep. Slowly, he turned to the direction of the whisper and was met with glowing eyes. He jumped, reaching out to shake Lindsay. The voice came again. "Bobby." The shadow took shape, and he recognized the figure from all those years ago. It was now in full form, cloak and all. Robert continued to tap Lindsay, but he was unable to look away from the figure. As he stared, the figure grinned at him. His mouth opened, and a dark liquid poured out. It was a gurgled whisper, and Robert could only stare as the liquid cascaded to the floor. It swooped closer and bent forward, and Robert gagged as the smell of rotting flesh overwhelmed him. Another whisper. "Do you remember me, Bobby?" The voice grew louder, and Robert was positive it would wake Lindsay, but she never stirred. He felt his body tremble, felt the sweat pour off him despite the frigid air. As the figure laughed, bugs dropped from his mouth, crawling around his face. One dropped onto the bed and crawled over Robert's legs. He screamed and scrambled to his knees.
"Robert? Robert!"
He blinked, and the figure was gone. The air was warm, and the room was silent. But as Lindsay touched him, he jumped. He knew if he told her what he had just seen, she would tell him it was just a nightmare. So he swallowed as she turned on the bedside lamp.
"I have to go. My mom, I have to go check on her."
"Oh my God, Robert. You're soaked. Are you sick?"
She reached out once more and rested the back of her hand on his forehead. He said that yes, he thought he was.
Maybe you shouldn't drive.
He assured her that it was fine. She pressed her lips together as if stopping herself from arguing and gave a short nod. He mumbled an apology as he rushed to get dressed and then ran to his car. His mother was in danger. He had to get home. There might be time to get her to the hospital. Even if she argued, he wouldn't back down. The streets were deserted and he pushed past the speed limit, ready to tell the police about his mother if he was pulled over. But there was no sign of any life, and he started to relax. He would make it in time. He would get to her before the shadow could. The road was dimly lit with flickering lights, and Robert squinted as he saw something off to the side of the road. As he drove closer, he realized it was the figure, and he screamed as it turned to him with that gaping smile. Its eyes glowing brighter than the streetlight it so boldly stood under. It was all black, covered in a cloak, and it stepped into the street, waving him down. The radio turned on, and the volume increased with a deafening static stabbing his ears. He pressed on the gas and braced himself for the impact. But he drove right through the figure, no indication that his car had just hit it. Instead, he felt an intense pain in his chest. Fighting to stay upright, he continued to race the last few miles home, the pain intensifying until he had to struggle to stay conscious. As soon as he turned into the driveway, he was opening the door and falling out of the car. Clutching his chest, Robert forced himself to stand and run the last few steps up the porch steps. Somehow, he managed to unlock the door and stumble into the house, only to come face to face with that thing.
Bobby, you're home. I've been waiting on you.
He staggered into the living room and made out her figure on the couch. Slowly, she sat up.
Robert?
Mom, we need to get you to the hospital.
Robert, what? I'm fine.
The voice spoke again.
She's fine, Bobby.
He turned to the figure.
Shut up! Shut the hell up!
Robert, what's wrong?
Mom, do you see him? Look, right in front of me.
Robert, can you hear me? Honey, what's wrong? Robert?
Mom, I'm right here.
The voice spoke again.
She can't hear you anymore, Bobby.
The figure reached out and grabbed his arm. And Robert immediately became nauseous from the icy touch.
Time to go home, Bobby.
The pain in his chest radiated throughout his entire body, and he saw his mother standing over him. Then, he was beside the figure and watching his mother.
Me? You came for me?
He found himself walking beside the figure, and as he glanced around, he saw shadows swirling around him, their laughs following, cheering on the process. It was one step after another into darkness, until he couldn't even see the figure any longer. Until the darkness was all he could see.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of 13. If you like what you heard, stop what you're doing and leave a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts. This was Grim Reaper by Tricia Ridinger McKee, narrated by Nate DeFort. Mom was Bridget Howard. Lindsay was Brooke Jeanette. Editing and sound design by Brooke Jeanette. Additional assistance from Ian Epperson. Our producer-level patrons are Rick Linville, Tattooed Fox, Rhiannon, Sean Geary, Anthony Diaz, Michael Vasquez, Amy Harper, Jackie Kay, Delta Tango, Chantel Payne, Nick, Emily Douglas, Stephanie Klinger, Jake R., and Abigail Perez. Thank you so much for your support. If you want to learn more about joining us on Patreon, just click the link in the show notes. And check us out on social media. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram under Pod13. And you can join the Facebook group for 13 Podcast. Just look for the logo, and you'll find links in the show notes. If you'd like to submit a story to be performed on the show, or if you'd like to contact us about anything else, you can get in touch at info@13podcast.com. You'll find submission guidelines and other info on our website, 13podcasts.com. You can find that in the show notes, too.
Bridget Freeman is the chill creeping into your bones.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Edgar said to the interviewer he was convinced that the thing out there wasn't a vault.
Yeah, I know what he thought.
Dr. Edgars didn't think it was designed to keep things out.
I know what he thought.
He thought it was designed to keep something in.
Do you even understand the difficulty trying to keep a base like Fathom at the bottom of the ocean from killing everyone in it on a daily basis?
Oh my God.
Everyone hold on to something.
I think whatever is on the other side of that door out there, it's not friendly. I think it's trying to get out. That, my friend, is a dire combination.
That's a bad sign.
Get out of the door!
It's spreading like some kind of technological contagion. We can either stop it here or watch the world burn.
Fathom, the first season of Derelict. Listen wherever you get your podcasts, or learn more at DerelictPodcast.com.